All right, this is Pure Decking Show number 299. Well, might have to figure out something for 300. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and reminding you that the game is actually already lost. Start stockpiling food, ammo, and bottle caps. I'm Morps. Tonight, I am drinking a little bit of a Red Stag. And we have Aryu. Aryu, what are we drinking?
Because I'm essentially a bit jet-lagged, because we've now won 1 hour into the future, where I thought we were 1 hour in the past. If you follow me there, I'm still drinking my coffee.
Brave man. God knows what's in that coffee. I've heard how you make coffee. That's a brave man.
Lots and lots of bourbon.
Sonic speed fast now. Go, go. Quickly, quickly.
Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Dos Equis.
Huh. Okay. And Sard. Sard, what do you got?
I have a Coke, because if I was drinking a beer, I'd probably be asleep by the end of the show.
So we're going with the classic Cocoa Coke, or...
classic Coca-Cola Coke.
Wait, so what are you telling me? You're having a little Coke with your Vicodin tonight.
Yes.
They cancel each other out, and you just kind of have a heart attack. I mean...
Oh, Viking and Red Bull, that'll give you fucking wings, all right.
Yeah.
And a halo, and a harp.
And a Darwin Award.
So, anyways, are you guys familiar with the 3D printed Enable hands? The prosthetic hands?
As of yesterday,
no.
Oh, okay. Well,
that would be yes.
How is it working out, may I ask?
The fingers are printing right now.
Awesome.
So.
Hmm. I saw some security, I think it was, I saw a Twitter post someone did that this chick was at a conference, I forget which conference, but she was asking people if she could, she had a bionic arm or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
was asking people if she could charge it. Like, hey.
And they wouldn't let her. I saw that too.
They wouldn't let her use the freaking.
I gotta charge up my phone.
I gotta charge my arm, fuckers. Your phone can wait.
Yeah, it's like, no. I've really gotta be able to get on Instagram. Fuck you and your ability to, you know, work doors and simple objects and, you know. Come on.
Hashtag bionic problems, I guess.
Although, to be fair, my first thought is. She doesn't have a spare battery for the thing. I mean, if it was me and I had a robot arm, you know, I'd keep a battery pack in the bag. I mean, just personally. So
makes sense.
That, or you know, I'd probably want to tweak out the servos and you know just fill all the empty space with 18650s. So it's like, what does it do? Well, it's a robotic arm, and if I really get mad, I can tase people.
Nice. That would be cool.
That's what I would do with it. You know, just line it with 18650s. You could probably get a ton in there.
Yeah. Redo the wrist with some sort of piston or whatever so you could go into attack mode and your fist just fucking juts out like, you know, 300 RPM.
Little vibrating blades on the fingers just in case. It's like, well, nope. We gave her the full-on combat arm, the Lex Luthor special there. She doesn't have anything to worry about personal safety wise.
That'd be sweet.
That'll be the next great debate. You know, ban bionic arms because they're too dangerous. Because God forbid we correct a behavior problem by, you know, not banning something. Those points aside, actually not really aside.
Banning works so well. I mean, you can't buy pot in California.
Yes, banning works. So, anyways, so let's get in here. This is RU's fault. He put the bug in my head about YouTube the other day when we were bitching about it, and then I saw some other articles that just kind of fit along there. So it's like, okay, we'll run with this. So I got a Reuters story here. YouTube to display Wikipedia blurbs alongside conspiracy videos. And we'll get to how they're identifying these videos here in a minute. But, YouTube will begin displaying text from Wikipedia articles and other websites alongside some videos in a couple of weeks as the unit of Alphabet Inc.'s Google attempts to combat hoaxes and conspiracy theories on the service, its chief executive said on Tuesday. Susan Wojcicki? Wojcicki. Wojcicki? I'm not trying to make fun of her. I honestly have no clue how to say that. It's like too many vowels. speaking on stage at the South by Southwest Conference in Austin, Texas, displayed a mock-up of the new feature, which are called information cues. YouTube intends to present an alternative viewpoint to videos questioning science or describing conspiracies about events such as the U.S. moon landing. She said information cues would first roll out to topics which there are significant numbers of YouTube videos. People can still watch the videos, but then they would have to access additional information, can click off and go see that. Or they would actually have access. Okay, I misread. I thought she said would have to access. Then they would actually have access to additional information, can click off and go see that. Wojcicki said. Lawmakers and media advocacy groups have called on YouTube to help stop the spread of hoaxes and false news stories. Yeah, they're really trying to avoid the word fake news.
Why do they care? Why should they care?
That's the bug that RU put in my ear days ago.
And who says that Wikipedia has the right fucking version? Or the provable version of...
No, they just have the last person to edit the damn thing's version.
Lawmakers
that was my bugbear.
Yeah. Lawmakers
Sorry,
and
steal your thunder. It's just
media advocacy groups have called on YouTube to spot the spread, blah, blah, blah. Last year, the company adjusted its algorithms to promote what it described as authoritative sources. Yeah, I noticed that, too, when they got rid of the news channel. though music and gaming videos are far more popular on YouTube, the company has made addressing the criticism around news and science videos a top priority this year. So... I mean, these Wikipedia articles, I mean, okay, but, you know, they're talking about doing it for things that are questioning science. Well, I've got the article on who's going to be making these determinations here in just a minute. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to find the site I found it on is pretty damn biased. It's Daily Caller, right? So, but it was one of the better write-ups, so it's the one I'm going with. Yeah, so they're going to start displaying Wikipedia article links and all this other shit. And this is, you know, what you got me thinking about yesterday, RU, is what the hell is Google actually trying to do with YouTube? Because it's obviously not make money, because they lose money on it every year.
It's called they want to be a gatekeeper.
Yeah, I think
they're
ousting
everyone out. And they want to herald in the new what is true.
And considering how much influence Google has over where people go, I mean, their only rival is Facebook. I mean...
Well, you look, Ben, you wake up and suddenly everything you've aggregated over the last couple of months in what you want to watch and associated stuff, and suddenly Google says, sorry, man, that's wrong think. You better sign in and get verified if you want to keep looking at shit like that. But meanwhile, here's some other shit that we think's important. You know,
well, I mean, even like anybody who's got like Fire TV or little Kodi boxes and things like that, where you're using the YouTube app to watch those videos on TV. I've noticed the past couple of days they've redesigned it yet again. They're really trying to make it hard to even just get to your subscriptions. You watch what we tell you to watch.
I watch a guy every now and then called Wide Smile. Not promoting him or anything like that. He just has some interesting views. No longer can be found. Tried this morning. I could not find him.
Yeah.
It sent me to everything Smile related, but not his channel. And I checked for it on YouTube on PC here. Fucking easy to find, but Those little boxes there, man, I think they're aggregating them differently.
They are. Because they're going through a different interface. But
yeah.
They're and I didn't I was trying to find a good source for these articles too. There's a lot of people claiming that YouTube is flat out, based on political speech, censoring or removing and deleting channels and videos. They're certainly making them harder to find, where like some of the more obvious ones, you have to basically punch the entire channel name into the search box to find it.
Example in point, when my PC was offline for the 90 days there, I was just using my laptop, and hey, I got into a weird show called Tucker Carlson Nightly. I used to just type in Tucker Carlson, and it would come up with the 1 hour Tucker Carlson show daily for that day in the YouTube search. As of 2 weeks ago, man, I actually have to put in Tucker Carlson tonight and the date, but I have to use Bing to find the video, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
You follow? Like, I could type in Tucker Carlson tonight and the date and everything like that, and it still won't come up with the show. But if I do that, and I could do it through Google, occasionally I'll get the right show. But if I go through Bing, fucking get the same show every day.
Try HookTube. See how well that one works for you, because I think they're using their own search.
I was going to try that yesterday, but I found the show too quickly, and I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, but, fair enough.
I had a look at HookTube's interface. I don't know if it's going to be something I want to use.
So,
like the search thing?
Yeah.
It's a little
It's wonky.
Hit and miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this gets me thinking. So they're actually going in and putting links to Wikipedia articles or other websites on videos that they think are wrong, right? That means they're making an editorial decision.
Yeah, so therefore they should be classed as under the Fourth Estate, therefore regulated.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe we need a mass school walkout to promote this.
Yeah. Now I could not find a good article that I liked on the YouTube censoring thing, because most of them were panicky and several of them were talking about Alex Jones, and his channel was limited but not removed.
The way
Hughes got a lawsuit right now that's pretty well documented, and they're discussing how YouTube is selectively enforcing their rules. So PragerU, they'll get professors, professionals in a field to discuss either economics or whatever their field is.
Sure.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes and it's very informative.
Yeah, they try to keep it down to 5 to 10 minutes. Some of their longer videos are like 15, but they're generally short videos. They had a historian who in response to some other articles describing the treatment of Japanese and how Japan have and pretty much the way we bombed Japan during World War II, pretty much making Japan look very victimized as a country.
Mm-hmm.
He did a video on the raping of Nanking and describing the atrocities Japan had committed in World War II. And he wasn't blaming any particular person. He was like, this is what happened. This is one reason Japan was targeted so harshly, is here is the list of things that they did in World War II. His video, even though it has no explicit material, the dude never cusses, it's like a monotone professor teaching something, is considered mature audiences only. Whereas other videos showing graphic images of some things that happened to the Japanese that were put out by people with other ideologies are considered educational and are viewable by everyone. But to see that PragerU video, you have to register and consent to being 18, even though it's a very dry lecture on history.
Yeah.
Been editing things quite a bit.
But you talk about how the articles, you can't find one out there either condemning or going with it, Morps. That's what you're getting at before?
Yeah.
The thing is that the gatekeepers, the original ones, like the MSNBC, CBS, ABC, those guys are sort of like, shit, we can't go to war with YouTube because we'll lose, because we need YouTube, but we want to maintain our stranglehold of power. How can we? And then Google is just locking them out.
Well,
I think it's more that they don't care.
I'm wondering what agreements they signed and went with a couple of years ago when they settled the lawsuits for copyright infringement on YouTube, and then like it was like within a week, all of the trending stuff, instead of being stuff people were doing at home or, you know, independent people, it all suddenly was clips from nightly news, from night talk shows,
Sony,
and the news
Sony
clips.
Sony, BMI, CNBC, and CNN seem to be the big ones.
Yeah, so it's like, I kind of wonder what agreements they signed on some of this shit. So yeah. let me get this, I don't think I've heard anything from. Do you want to get something in before we go to the next article in this topic?
No, I'm good. I don't really have anything to add.
Cool. So, this one's from Daily Caller. YouTube is secretly using the Southern Poverty Law Center to police videos. And I've seen this a few different places, and I was wanting to find some better information. Unfortunately, it's hard because, you know, obviously, trying to Google this, it's not working well for some reason. I don't know. The Southern Poverty Law Center is assisting YouTube in policing content on their platform, the Daily Caller has learned. The left-wing nonprofit, which has more recently come under fire for labeling legitimate conservative organizations as hate groups, is one of more than 100, so it's not just Southern Poverty, but it's you know, 100 non-government organizations and government agencies in YouTube's Trusted Flaggers program, a source with knowledge of the argument told the DC. The Southern Poverty Law Center and other program members help police YouTube for extremist content ranging from so-called hate speech to terrorist recruiting videos. All of the groups in the program have confidentiality agreements, a spokesperson for Google, YouTube's parent company, previously told the Daily Caller. A handful of YouTube's trusted flaggers include the Anti-Defamation League and No Hate Speech, a European organization focused on combating intolerance, have gone public with their participation in the program. A vast majority of the groups in the program have remained hidden behind their confidentiality agreements, and I don't blame them, because, dear God, the hate mail and all the threats and all the crazy shit they're going to get. So I'm sure, because they've got 100 organizations in there, I am sure they've got some people in there who are just legitimately trying to get rid of the really, really bad shit. And it's like, oh, politics, don't care. But, then you've got other groups like, Southern Poverty Law Center and Anti-Defamation League who have a reputation. So, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, this is going to end well. Close involvement. The Southern Poverty Law Center's close involvement in policing content on YouTube is likely to cause consternation among conservatives who worry they may not be treated fairly. The left-wing group has consistently labeled pedestrian conservative organizations as hate groups and has been directly tied to violence against conservatives in the past. Blah, 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 blah. I wish I could get a better list. The rest of the article kind of goes on lambasting the Southern Poverty Law Center and kind of debunking some of the people they've labeled as hate groups. But I'm less concerned about the politics and more concerned about this idea that YouTube has brought in all of these organizations independent. Well, one, it proves their algorithms don't work, but independent of, I don't know what kind of control would be appropriate. They're just kind of bringing in all these organizations to help flag YouTube and look for bad shit. So, I mean, I remember when they first did their community program like a year and a half, 2 years ago, everyone thought that was what was going to happen, is that you would have these group of the YouTube community members just flagging anything they disagreed with. And it sounds like instead of just bringing in random community members, they instead went to these NGOs. So this is how they're going to determine what videos need, Wikipedia debunking links. Go ahead, Madman.
I was going to say, the big issue I don't think is that they're going to NGOs, because they went with them just to save money. They could either hire somebody to do this, or they have people volunteering to do it for free.
Yeah, but the people volunteering to do it for free obviously have an agenda.
Yes, and that's what I was about to say is, if you look at the number of them, at least when it goes to their aggregated news sources, they weigh heavy on the left and be trending in YouTube's news sources and Facebook, they usually have to find two or three sources with the same story and the same slant for them to view it. Well, if they don't have enough conservative sources, then those aren't going to show up simply because it doesn't meet their criteria. And I'm thinking this will be a similar problem, is they're going to be weighing heavily on the NGOs that they believe are correct because they share the same political agenda CEO is running.
They've gotten caught with that, the guy who's suing them for firing him because he wrote a memo, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
So we know their politics aren't clean.
12 NGOs from one side and maybe 5 on the other, and you'll see how it's weighed out on what gets flagged and not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking for a list of all the trusted groups. I can't find a list. I can only find the ones who have added themselves, like SPLC and
there's a handful
places like
that. There's the
European
group. Yeah,
they've added themselves.
Did.
There's no definitive list, though, that I could find. But then again, I am using Google.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is they apparently signed confidentiality agreements to that effect anyways. So you may not be able, there may not be a definitive list for a while until somebody manages to assemble it, or you know, somebody at YouTube or at a Google or YouTube, you know, corporate gets hacked. I mean, but so again, this comes back to this idea here of what are they doing? Because they're obviously not, their goal is not to make money, because YouTube, I don't think, has ever done that. Even with their partner program and paying out on the advertising and stuff like that. To my knowledge, YouTube has never actually turned a profit. Well, hell, let's just look.
It's a propaganda arm of the DNC and other leftist organizations around the world.
Well, I don't think it's quite that, because if that was the case, they'd just delete anything they didn't, you know, because they're still hosting it.
Oh, no. A good propaganda arm? They don't want to appear biased, because then you know they're biased.
They want to control kind of opposition.
If you look at any of the shit put out by the Nazis, they put out dissenting opinions. They just made sure they looked like they were fucking morons. Same thing with the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is moving into conspiracy theory land, but if you want to run an effective propaganda arm, you don't silence the other side, you just make them look stupid.
Or you have a controlled opposition. Right. You can keep your YouTube channel PewDiePie as long as you only offend 3 times a month.
Okay.
You know what
so
I mean?
I'm finding articles that apparently in 2016 YouTube did start turning a profit from advertising.
Well.
But in 2015 it wasn't. And that's, to be fair, it's probably been that long since I've looked up, is YouTube profitable or not? So yeah, they're saying in 2016 they actually started turning profits. So, okay, fair enough. That's making them money. But does that still invalidate this idea that they're going editorial? And I liked your idea that they're trying to control influence.
Yeah. I mean, you control the minds of the people. You can get them to vote any way you want.
Well, not just vote, but spend money, buy things.
Yeah. Fear rules, man.
But since YouTube is owned by Google, if somebody else tried to start, say, a competing platform, I think Minds.com was the last one I know of that tried.
If you're gonna try and start opposition to Google, get a lot of bodyguards that are armed. Just saying.
I don't know about that, but I'm just thinking you'd have no way to get exposure because they control the search engines. Because a lot of the third-party search engines are still pulling in Google's results. The others are using, you know.
You want to start a really good, it doesn't even need to be a good search engine, but you want traffic to that, put it in Rick and Morty.
The Rick and Morty search engine.
Yeah, it'll be an autism hive mind, man.
Instead of it saying, you know, I feel lucky, it just says Szechuan sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't somebody die in a fight over Szechuan sauce? I don't remember now.
I don't know, but I'm going to say it's true.
So,
I mean, I don't think you'll ever strangle Google out of market control for algorithm searches, but I think in the future people are gonna go, "Hey, where'd you hear that?" And if you go, "Well, I found it on Google," they'll be like, "Dickhead."
Yeah,
fair enough. I don't know. Was Yahoo bigger than Google at one point?
Yes,
at one point.
Though have fallen over before, is what I'm saying.
Alta Vista used to be pretty big.
Yeah,
but so I don't know. It'll take an absolute meme driven exposure of some other program.
So politics aside, whether you like that they're, you know, what they're doing or not. And I'm guessing most of us not a fan of what they're doing. But in all seriousness, politics of what, you know, the subject of what they're doing aside, doesn't this expose them to editorial? Don't they lose DMCA protection? Can't they be sued for opinions on YouTube since they're actually doing editorial?
They should be able to. The question is whether or not Congress is going to show balls.
Yeah, I don't think.
Now, Congress is kind of ballless.
Yeah, if you think the NRA has power, you have no idea with Google. You know what I mean? When it comes to politics.
I'm not even going with power or funds. Let's say a lot of congressmen agree with it. A lot of congressmen on both sides thinks Trump's tariffs are a terrible idea. And if you look at the Constitution, only Congress could raise taxes. Have you heard anyone challenging them? Either legally or bringing up a vote? I think apathy is going to prevent anything from happening more than incompetence.
Hey Morps, are you Brave finished killing that hobo yet?
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Okay, just checking.
Oh, yeah, and actually, it is more a Brave New World than a 1984. It's going to be a soft tyranny.
Yeah.
What was that I said at the beginning of the show? Start stockpiling food, ammo, and bottle caps.
Books. Start stockpiling books.
Yeah.
Become a librarian.
It's
fucking
crunch.
Tragic, isn't it, man? I've been doing it for the last 5 years, buying old books from fucking charity stores, man. Dictionaries, the thesauruses. My wife was gonna burn half the fucking books I bought because they're all pretty much identical. They're just the next year's edition.
Oh, I wouldn't just go dictionaries, the sources. They're not
encyclopedias,
teaching Plato.
Man.
They're teaching books about people who talk about Plato. Find the great thinkers.
Dude, I've pretty much collected all the great works, but old encyclopedias and stuff like that, they used to cost like $1,000 a volume. You can pick them up for like pennies on the dollar now. And they're all leather bound and awesome books, man.
So I've noticed half of our listeners are dropped off, so maybe we got a little too political.
Either that or they took a phone call.
It did. By half, I do mean going from 2 to 1. So I think Psychro said his battery might die. So
that's why we record it.
Yep, that is why we record it. So if, you know, of course, I guess we should call that out. We do the show live, broadcast on galaxy15radio.com, get in the IRC. We start it in about 9-ish Central Time, American Time.
And if you got it off iCloud or whatever the fuck it's called, we didn't put it.
I have no idea how the thing's on iTunes. I didn't do it. I swear. I've been told it's on iTunes, so...
It's on iTunes and still on YouTube. We have not been banned.
How have we not been banned from YouTube?
No one cares.
Okay, good.
So, looking through the IRC here, we've got myself, Sard, Psychros, Don't Ask an Iron Angel in the IRC at the moment. So, you know, hey, if you like the show, get on live, throw shit at me in the IRC. Yeah, next time we get too political, you know, just start screaming shame in the IRC or whatever. I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, but am I wrong? Does that not subject them to editorial law? I mean, they're big enough they don't care, but...
Lukey.
They should be able to be charged with slander and libel now.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think we'll, like, immigration. We'll wait till it gets really, really fucking bad before we can have a talk about it.
Yeah. Sard, what do you think? You've been quiet.
I don't know, man. They're private companies. They can do what they want. And that's why we have other platforms.
Well, that's the problem, is I'm worried Google's going to choke out the other platforms.
Well, I mean, there's always going to...
That's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, once those people see that, you know, they keep getting censored there or something, they'll move on to the next latest and greatest thing. I was going to say that. I was hoping that, you know, there's platforms out there like LiveLeak, but RU said that they've kind of gone downhill as well.
Well, aren't most LiveLeak videos just wrapping a YouTube video?
Hopefully they change.
Yes and no. LiveLeak just had a huge, I don't want to say update, but a remodeling. And some of the things I saw yesterday on LiveLeak that are still up there today would say to me they aren't censoring it as much as they were last year.
No, that's good.
There was a video up there.
What else are you going to do? It's a private company. They censor you, so you say, oh, shit, okay, can't put that up there. So you have to go somewhere else.
I mean, like, there's one thing that, you can't have an ISIS beheading video, but we can show a dude blowing his own head off with a shotgun. Not sure how I feel about both those, but one can't be right and the other one wrong. You know, they both involve death.
I don't know.
What makes one death better than the other?
Context matters. The dude blowing his head off isn't promoting murder, genocide, or racism.
Well, unless he had the Nazi flag in the background, was screaming about kikes.
And is he blowing himself up because he's the one Jewish Nazi and he realized what the fuck he was?
I was just, you know, being a stirring shit there. But I don't know, man. To me, death is death. Context. Bleh.
Well, there is a difference because we're pushing messaging. Whenever it's ISIS and we're going to line up a few dozen caustic Christians on the Mediterranean Ocean, cut their heads off, then say, Pope, we're coming for you. That's a bit of a different message than, hi, my name's Bob, I'm going to suck start this shotgun.
No, see, their idea of taking down the ISIS stuff was not because they were propaganda, it was because it was showing death and murder. Well, that's all it was. They didn't cite it for being Islamic or anything like that, or propagandizing. They just said, well, we're not going to let people being killed, like murdered. So
they didn't give a good reason.
It wasn't a good reason, but I don't know where I stand. But LiveLeak, unless you get a strong stomach or you really want to bear witness to the most terrible things human beings do to each other.
I thought that was Motherless.
Dude, I haven't been to Motherless in years. They cleaned that place up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought Motherless was like the worst place on the internet.
I haven't been there in a while. When they did the big purge and cleaned everything out of there, that's the only reason worth
going
there.
Disappointing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you clean out the cockroaches, they just go somewhere else. I mean, shit.
Yeah, a lot of them ran over to LiveLeak.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of them went to E-Fucked. You know, so that's the camps, man. Death and gore or hardcore porn.
All right.
But dude, that's where the traffic's at.
Yeah.
Death, gore, and hardcore porn.
Like, yeah.
And then everyone runs over to Reddit to go, hey, look what I saw.
All right. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, you're right. I'd love to see it's like, oh, everybody goes, oh, they're censoring. Fuck this. But I'm wondering if you're going to end up with like split platforms, just like you just mentioned, between Motherless and E-Fucked, right? Or not Motherless, LiveLeak and E-Fucked.
I think you already have them.
Well, YouTube starts censoring anybody with, you know, a mildly conservative viewpoint, so you end up with another platform with that. So now these two political sides never get exposed to each other's ideas, and we have a civil war in what, 5 years?
No, 20.
Madman's optimistic. But it's
people don't fight over ideology. People fight over food.
Yeah.
That's like the most poignant thing anyone's ever said on this show.
What? People don't fight over audiology. People fight over food.
I think that is. You need like an award for that one right there. That's like a quote.
That should be on a shirt.
It should be on a shirt.
Look at it. Egypt has been a shit show for a while. When did they start having riots? When they went from two meals a day to 1 to 1.5 meals a day. That's
Venezuela.
When shit hit the fan.
Well, I told you, man, yesterday in Venezuela, they're actively hunting cows in paddocks with sticks. Because roof chicken is unavailable right now.
You mean pigeon?
Yep.
Cat.
Oh, God.
No, roof rabbit is cat.
Roof rabbit.
Chicken
sorry,
is
yeah,
pigeon.
Yeah, they ran out of roof rabbit.
God.
Oh. There's little to no dogs left in the cities. It's lawless.
So let's rocket snail on to something less depressing.
What, the end of the world? Fuck, that's not depressing, man. It's happening, baby. Oh, that's right, normies. It's happening. Oh, shit.
This is from computerworld.com. Microsoft again forced to upgrades on Windows 10 machines specifically set to block updates. So, when Microsoft released Windows 10 Pro Creators Update, version 1703, it included the ability to control updates. Some would argue that the ability to readily block updates is one of the most important features of 1703 and the single reason why individual Windows 10 customers should spring for Windows 10 Pro instead of Windows 10 Home. Now, for the third time since its release in April 2017, Microsoft has simply ignored these blocks and moved machines onto the Fall Creators Update, version 1709, without warning or explanation. Actually, my machine, which is set specifically on updates, not to block them, but to let me schedule them. Yeah, when I first sat down this morning, it wanted to do a restart for updates, and it's not supposed to do that. It's only supposed to download them. So
I thought that was just me.
No.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's what this article is bitching about. So what's going to happen, too, is it's probably going to reset your start menu and reinstall all those stupid shovelware apps.
Fuck.
Yep. Confirmation of the latest fiasco arrived last Friday evening as part of the note appended to the end of a knowledge base article, KB402. Oh, shit. Don't hit space when you're reading articles. KB402-3814. There is no patch associated with that knowledge base. It's an explainer knowledge base. Said some versions of Windows 10 display notifications to install the latest version. If you're currently running Windows 10 version 1507, 1511, 1607, or 1703, you can expect to receive a notification that states your device has to have the latest security updates installed. Windows 10 will then try to update your device. Windows 10 version 1607 and 1703 are not yet end of service. However, they must be updated to the latest versions of Windows 10 to ensure protection from the latest security threats. Yeah, sure, because patching alone is going to protect you from the latest.
I mean, I can download anything I want.
It's definitely a better practice to patch than to not patch.
Agreed. That
I mean,
is
I'm
true.
Kind of...
I've had conflicted
with this.
I don't like Windows Update rebooting when I'm in the middle of something, and I've had that happen way too many times.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, all of us hate that. But at the same time, it's like the users, in my opinion, are being irresponsible and not patching on their own. So things apparently have evolved now where a company has to tell you, hey, you need to patch this, and we're going to do it for you because you're a fucking idiot and haven't done it yet.
Well, the problem here...
I mean, but then there's the whole thing privacy-wise, you know, it's my machine, who are you to tell me to do this, yada yada. It's, I don't know, I'm conflicted.
So that's the problem,
I
right?
See,
is that they're forcing these updates on machines that are specifically set not to. It's because Windows by default is set to update. So if it's just apathy, people are dumb, then their machine's going to update on their own because that's how it's set up. But if you've purposely gone in and said, no, I don't want updates, I need this specific version for a reason, or I need to control when my updates go on my machine.
How many people do you actually think said, oh, I need this specific version for a reason? No.
Software
it's
does.
That they don't want their shit rebooting. That's the only reason.
Well, a lot of them.
Which can be argued as irresponsible. So now are we, you know, in order to use a computer, you're going to have a computer license to show that you're a responsible computer user and will update your shit?
You know, I think that's where it's going to go if you're going to use a general purpose computer and not a walled garden device like an iPad or a lockdown Android tablet like Amazon sells. They're not that locked down.
Then,
nobody's sending too much hate.
You know, and federal background checks. And if you've got a mental illness, you shouldn't be allowed access.
You can't get wrong or mad when your shit reboots because the company has to take care of it for you because you're not responsible enough to do it on your own.
Well, see, that's the thing. I do schedule it on my own. I should have
choice. Have one, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Then you go back to the, okay, now you need a computer license.
Yeah, like and a federal background check and no mental illness and a history of responsible behavior within the community. Yeah, wow. Dude, I can solve a lot of fucking problems, but a lot of people aren't going to have one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then the companies don't like that because they aren't selling their shit.
Dude, it's just the gun law thing all over again. God damn you, Americans.
Yeah.
Fucking too irresponsible.
I have not shot a single living person.
Yes, but you probably sent an inappropriate tweet, you filthy pig.
It was a text message.
With my guns.
So just pressing the enter key with the with the trigger guard count, I mean, is that...
Yeah, this should be a safety switch. Like, that way you can type your message.
A safety switch on the enter? What?
Yeah. Oh. You need a little cap over the top of it, so you type something, you read it, that's not going to offend anyone, and then
the breathalyzer. You need the breathalyzer they put on people's cars for your PC.
That's if
you're too drunk
to
tweet,
you're at Amazon. Yeah, that's if you're at Amazon, right? Is it racist?
Oh,
and then
my goodness.
You push the little safety switch, and the computer takes over and reads it and says whether it's inappropriate or not. And if it's not, the switch will open up and allow you to press enter yourself. All this should take no more than 8 to 12 minutes. Right?
Perfect.
Coding's going to be a bitch.
Yeah.
Because that's how we solve this problem. You know that's how a government would solve this problem.
So anyways, the rest of the article goes on explaining how Microsoft has ignored all of the settings that they put in the OS for letting you not update immediately. And apparently this is the third time in the last 4 months that they've done that. So, whoops.
That's not a whoops. That's fucking blatant disregard.
It is. So this,
I think
this
is a new policy here.
So yeah. the real...
But like
the,
I said, I mean, can you really blame them? Because
yes.
Half the fucking internet's part of a botnet.
Well, that's
because,
true.
You know, people can't update their shit.
Oh, I got.
Or
I got
irresponsible with their computer.
We got a consultant at work right now who used to be a Microsoft employee, and he was on the Windows Update team. And I asked him, "Why the fuck did you guys stop letting pirated copies update?" He was like, "Well, you can't support pirates." Well, yeah, but their machines are half the fucking botnets out there that we got to deal with now.
Yeah.
Oops.
Well, you know, but you can't help a pirate. Okay, I get that. But I don't have the right to stop a running process on somebody else's computer without going to jail for it. So either I need the right to stop things that are bad on other people's computers, or you all need to fix their fucking shit, but, you know, even though they're running a pirated copy of Windows, at least for the security updates. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
He got mad at me.
Well, yeah, there's the whole privacy aspect of it, and I don't know. It's tough.
So,
like I said, I'm conflicted.
Yeah, it's hard. This is why, truthfully, the way they operate going forward is going to be you're going to run Linux as the main OS, and you're going to run Windows as a virtual machine with a graphics card pass-through, so it's wrapped up in a container where it belongs.
Yeah, that'd be better, that's for sure.
I meant to do that. I got away from it because... work's been kicking my ass. I think I'm gonna focus on that again here soon. Go ahead, Ari.
Oh, I have nothing.
Madman, did you get that machine built yet?
Nope. I still have the parts on my bed.
You gonna put Linux on it? You gonna put Windows on it?
It's probably gonna end up with Windows because I like playing video games.
Yeah. Oh, and that machine doesn't have an extra graphics card, so doing the pass-through thing would be hard on it.
Not yet.
Madman, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is build that PC before Laser puts his water cooler on.
Oh, I'll beat that because I'm going to build the PC this week.
Put your fucking water cooler on, Laser.
He still hasn't. He still,
no,
hasn't,
he still
fucking
hasn't
done
fixed
that?
It.
What the hell?
I'm publicly outing him now. Fucking fix it, dude.
I think fix it, Laser.
Never mind. That's not something for public.
No.
You know what I was going to say.
Come back and play
though.
Some games, buddy. Yeah, yeah, let's just move on.
Next article's from the BBC. Are you sent me this one? BlackBerry is modified to help drug cartels. The chief executive of a company that helps highly secure smartphones, allegedly used by some of the world's most notorious criminals, has been indicted. Canadian-based Phantom Secure made tens of millions of dollars selling the modified BlackBerry devices for the use by the likes of the Sinaloa cartel, investigators said. The charges mark the first time U.S. authorities have targeted a company for knowingly making encrypted technology for criminals, as opposed to just for everybody. The Department of Justice arrested Vincent Ramos in Seattle last week. He was indicted on Thursday along with four associates. The BBC has been unable to reach Phantom Secure. Well, yeah, if they arrested Vincent Ramos and his four associates, that was probably like 90% of Phantom Secure.
I'd say that's the entire development team.
Yeah, it sounds like they arrested most of the company there. So, they are charged with racketeering and conspiracy to aid the distribution of drugs. Both crimes have a maximum penalty of life in prison. If the dude's made as much money as they said, he's not going to prison. I mean, come on. He can afford a lawyer. Every facet of Phantom Secure's corporate structure was set up specifically to facilitate criminal activity and obstruct, impede, and evade law enforcement, the Department of Justice said. Phantom Secure sold devices on a subscription basis on a cost of $2,000 to $3,000 for around 6 months of use. Well, that's still pretty pricey, but that's not as crazy as it sounds, because it's 6 months, well, right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking the U.S. Justice Department is the last of their concerns right now, because if they were dealing with the Sinaloa cartel, that's their bigger problem.
Yeah, that would be.
You know what I mean?
But, I mean,
they're not living.
If you do the math on this, what they're saying is that whoever was using these encrypted devices was paying $300-$400 a month. So it's not as crazy as they sound. And I've seen high-end encryption shit that's more expensive than that. So believe me, that's not a crazy price.
I guess I missed this from the beginning. What is this? Is it a phone?
It's a hacked BlackBerry.
Yeah, so how are they getting busted for this? I don't get it.
Racketeering.
The Sinaloa cartel. They're members of the Sinaloa cartel because they work with the Sinaloa cartel. They're a member of the Sinaloa cartel.
Okay.
That's all they got them for.
Well, okay, so maybe this will help. Itself. Maybe this will help. In order to become a customer, an existing user must vouch for the new person. That system, authority said, was a way of preventing law enforcement from getting a hold of the devices. Agents estimate as many as 20,000 Phantom Secure modified handsets are in use around the world. Communications through the phones are automatically routed to servers in Panama and Hong Kong, according to court documents, making data more difficult to trace. Phantom Secure could also remove key functionality of devices to lock them down, such as voice communication, microphone, GPS, camera, internet, and messaging apps, leaving just the text functionality. Well, at that point, why wouldn't you just get a burner phone?
No idea.
Yeah. Anyways, but I like the whole, somebody had to vouch for you. I mean,
well, that's nothing new, though. I mean, they used to do that in the credit card carding forums and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They still do it today.
So. Anyways, I just thought that was funny.
He's been a good man. He's with us.
I mean, they just figured out that most of the people using this service were criminals. They didn't get arrested for the device themselves.
No.
Okay.
So we didn't know. It just, you know, Vinny seemed like a nice guy. I don't know. Yeah, the tattoos were kind of odd, but, you know, paid in cash every month, always on time.
Exactly. What would they say? They had, what, 20,000 subscribers?
Give or take. Or 20,000 devices.
Devices at $2,000 a month?
They
were doing all right.
Well, it was $2,000 to $3,000 for every 6 months, so it was like $300 to $400 a month.
They were still doing okay.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's not Napster money, but it's pretty good.
Napster money.
You're dating yourself, are you?
God damn it!
Smoke weed every day. Wait. Anyways. So, next article is from DW.com. Google to ban ads on cryptocurrencies and initial coin offerings. U.S. search engine giant will soon stop advertisements promoting cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and Ripple. Ripple? Really? Why wouldn't you say Ethereum or Litecoin? Most people know what that is. Ripple? Anyways.
I don't know what Ripple is.
Yeah, it's a different altcoin, but it was like popular for like a minute. Anyways, under wider effects, efforts to crack down on the marketing of a new breed of high-risk financial products, Alphabet Inc.'s Google said on Wednesday it will ban advertisements for unregulated or speculative financial products like binary options, cryptocurrency, and financial spread betting, among others. Improving the ad experience across the web. Ad experience. Yeah, my ad experience is uBlock Origin, you fucker.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have a great experience with ads.
Once again, I know it's a private company, but someone paid them off to do this or something. Like, why the fuck else would they do this?
Improving the ads experience across the web, whether that's removing harmful ads or intrusive ads, will continue to be a top priority for us, said Scott Spencer, director of douchebaggery and sustainable ads, after the company announced its updates to the policy. One of those titles was made up. Figure out which one. Google rival Facebook to... Google rival Facebook took a similar step in January, leaving the world's two largest internet ad sellers out of reach of the emerging digital currency sector. Bitcoin, the largest cryptocurrency by market value, paired an advance of about 2% after Google's announcement. Paired an advance of about 2%. It went down. It was at like $9,000 earlier today. Rival coins
hit 8 earlier this week.
Did it really? Damn.
Yeah.
Glad I got out. I pulled all my money out of crypto stuff. I actually did it at a fairly good time, so I didn't really lose anything. I made some money. Rival coins Ripple and Ether also paired gains. Paired gains. They went down. That's a weird way to write. Maybe it's market. Maybe it's financial speak that I'm not used to. At the moment, Google queries for terms like binary options and buy Bitcoin produce 4 ads as the top results. Some aggressive businesses are also exploiting a loophole by purposely misspelling words like Bitcoin in their ads. A Google spokeswoman said the company's policies will try to anticipate workarounds like this. In a separate blog post Tuesday, Google said it took down 3.2 billion ads that violated its advertising policies in 2017, nearly double the number of ads it removed in 2016. Last year, for instance, Google pulled 79 million ads for luring online clickers to websites with malware. Well, that's good. I don't mind you doing that. Google is also accelerating a push against misleading content. The company suspended 7,000 customer accounts for ads that impersonated a news article, which is called tabloid cloaking. Well, it's not. It's called native advertising. It's also blocked more than 12,000 websites for copying information from other publications. Well, that's not really Google's purview, is it? According to analysis, Google's bad ads crackdown is unlikely to have a serious impact on sales. Last year, Google generated $9.5 billion in ad revenue, up 20% from 2016. $95 billion in ad revenue.
Crazy.
So, wow. Yeah, Google's saying no Bitcoin ads.
That article was just saying that they're doing it, but has anyone heard why?
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
Yeah, why are they doing this? Like, I don't get it.
Well, okay, no company goes, look, I know you've got a fistful of dollars, but fuck off.
Yeah.
Right? Dude, they're going to start their own crypto coin.
You don't think they're or they're getting pressured from someone else?
I'm thinking they're worried they're going to get sued.
Why would they get sued?
Because
World Monetary Organization were having a shit fit last week about Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So they were
like I said, I think they got to be getting pressured from someone. Why the fuck else would they say, "Oh no, yeah, your money isn't good here," even though you want to buy ads with us? Yeah, no.
But going back to what we were talking about when we opened the show, Google and Alphabet, their politics are fairly obvious. I mean, especially given some of the lawsuits and shit that's been going on down lately. maybe they agree with the globalists. I mean, maybe they're just like, they don't have to be pressured. They agree. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That's possible, I guess.
So,
speaking of globalists, when are we going to start selling water filters?
No.
Like us specifically?
We're not pulling an Alex Jones.
Is this
we're not
a
selling
Ponzi's?
Water filters. We're not selling toothpaste. We might do t-shirts, possibly coffee mugs.
But what am I going to do with these crates of vitamins I've got in the closet?
Yeah.
It depends. What are they? Will they turn your piss funky green and make it smell like spinach? If they will, I want you to fake an accident, take a ton of those things, and then go do a piss test.
God damn it. I'm saying
wow.
You don't have a regular physician.
Wow.
No, I don't. For many reasons.
Madman applying
Why
to be your doctor today.
I have no problem trolling a doctor. Other thing is, I don't really do regular checkups.
Hey, doctor, you want to see my new Mega Man? Yeah, we're going to need the X-ray machine. I've hidden it somewhere very cave-like.
Surprisingly enough, he swallowed it. What were you thinking? Anyways.
Yeah, you're filthy.
Speaking of Bitcoin, this article's kind of funny. Florida man, although it doesn't actually say Florida, or Florida man, it's from Tampa Bay. A Department of Citrus employee was arrested after he used state computers to produce virtual currency for himself, according to Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Matthew Dermott, a 51, of Davenport, was the information technology manager for the Florida Department of Citrus, the agency that oversees the state's citrus industry. So, orange juice.
Yeah.
Grapefruit juice.
Okay.
Well, and they sell a lot of stuff from oranges as well, because citrus is in damn near every cleaning product there is. According to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement agents, he used several computers in the Department of Citrus to mine for virtual currency, including Bitcoin and Litecoin. A mining pool or team is used to solve mathematical equations in an effort to mine virtual currency and win a reward, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement said. The pool combines its resources to help offset costs. Mining for cryptocurrency requires extensive computing power. Utility bills for the department jumped by more than 40% between October 2017 and January 2017 at a cost of $825, according to Inspector General for the Citrus Agency.
Oh, no.
Dermott spent more than $22,000 using a state purchasing card between July and December, agents said. He bought 24 graphic processing units. He bought video cards. He bought 24 video cards. These are often used to mine for graphics, mine for cryptocurrency. He is charged with grand theft and official misconduct. He was taken to Polk County Jail, and his bail was set at $5,000. Well, if you buy as much cryptocurrency as you guys said, $5,000 isn't much. So this guy was the IT admin for a state office, and he deployed a Bitcoin mining on his network. and they got caught because of the utility bill.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't see why this is news. Okay, yeah, he abused his power. He misused the computers. Just fire his ass and move on. I don't think it should be news.
Well, he should have.
I don't know. Public corruption is kind of news.
But shouldn't
corruption,
he have,
really?
Yes.
Shouldn't he have, you know, used the company card to spin up AWS instances and mine the Bitcoin up there? He would have gotten away with it a lot longer, I'm sure.
That makes sense.
And that's how I'd do it if I was going to... Anyways. I'm going to stop talking now. let's see. Last article I have for tonight is from ZDNet.com. And as soon as I paste it in the chat, there's one and this chat. Do I need to paste these things into TeamSpeak? I mean, is anybody actually reading them?
No, you don't have to paste them into TeamSpeak. I've been pulling them up. Usually I'm in the chat and just pull it up in the IRC.
Yeah, same.
All right. Save myself the double paste there. CTS Labs, a heretofore unknown Tel Aviv-based cryptocurrency startup, has claimed it found over a dozen security problems with AMD Ryzen and EPYC processors. Linus Torvald, Linux creator, doesn't buy it. Torvald, in a Google Plus wrote, a Google Plus discussion wrote, when was the last time you saw a security advisor that was basically, if you replace the BIOS or the CPU microcode with an evil version, you might have a security problem. Yeah. Which, actually, to be fair, I read some of this. Yeah, a lot of it is, well, if you, you know, load a bad firmware on there, it's like, well, no shit, Sherlock. That's the same problem every router has. That's not a real thing. But his original post that he put up on Google Plus, basically calling all security practitioners whores, a little harsh, dude. Don't lump us in with these assholes. Come on. Yeah, I really didn't appreciate his original post. It kind of pissed me off because he was lumping anybody who practiced network security in with these assholes. But anyways, or as a commenter put it on the same thread, I just had a flaw with all the hardware space. No device is secure. If I have a physical access device, you can just pick it up and walk away. So, CTS Labs sprang out of nowhere to give AMD less than 24 hours to address these problems. And that's the real bitch. That's how you know that. So, okay, my own theory, CTS Labs, they're not a security company. They were doing a stock hit against AMD. They announced a whole bunch of named vulnerabilities, said they gave the code to AMD, and then 24 hours released it. 24 hours released all the vulnerabilities publicly, but none of the test code. So nobody can verify if they're even real. And a lot of the write-ups do say things like you have to replace the firmware. So it's like,
yeah, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. So the startup has jazzed up its discoveries with a research paper, a video describing the vulnerabilities, and of course fancy names for them: Risenfall, Master Key, Fallout, and Chimera. CTS Labs claimed in an interview they gave AMD less than a day because they didn't think AMD could fix the problem for many, many months or even a year anyways. So,
well, that's still not how this is done.
We didn't think they could fix it in you know, many months or a year, so we gave them less than a day. Why'd you give them a day at all? If that's what you thought, why didn't you do open, you know, full disclosure and just post the whole damn thing?
Yeah, that's dumb.
So for Torvalds, it looks more like stop manipulation than a security advisor to me. Good on Linus, I agree with you. The real bugs, there are real bugs, though. Dan Guido, CEO of Trail of Bits, a security company with a proven track record, tweeted, regardless of the hype around the release, the bugs are real, accurately described in their technical report, which is not public as far as he knows, and their exploit code works. But Guido also admitted, yes, all the flaws require admin privileges, but are flaws, not expected functionality. That's the last part that takes Torvalds off. The Linux creator agrees they are bugs, but all the hype annoys the heck out of him. Are there bugs? Yes. Do they matter in the real world? He says no.
If it's a bug that requires admin, I already have admin. Can't I already do everything?
Yeah, basically. But so I wouldn't put them at the same priority as some of the other shit, but they do matter because what you can do. And by the way, you can do this for most routers on the network. Three-letter agencies love doing this to, like, Cisco switches and Cisco routers because it's easy if you get admin on those devices. They like to replace the firmware with a hacked version because it's harder to detect.
As a built-in backdoor.
Built-in backdoor. And if they go formatting systems trying to get the bad guys out, well, they still got their backdoor back in. People used to do this for printers all the time, too, by the way. So what's happened is they found a way to swap out the firmware on AMD CPUs. Well, that's great, except the level of access and the level of expertise you need to pull this off means that only three-letter agencies are probably going to do it. And here in a few months, I'm sure all your motherboard manufacturers will have firmware updates to fix some of the bugs they've found, or at least the ones they can fix. I mean, it's sort of like Spectre and Meltdown on the Intel side, right? Where, again, these are big deals. They're important, but they're not, you know, it's not end of the world kind of stuff like they made them out to be. And I don't remember exactly what I said on Deccan when we talked about Meltdown and Spectre. But again, you need admin to do almost anything with these flaws. Now, the big thing with Meltdown and Spectre was that if you had like an AWS or an Azure where you could get admin by buying it, you could then use that to break out of the VM and get on the hardware itself and see things you shouldn't see because you're accessing the wrong parts of memory. This just means AMD probably has equivalent bugs, and I don't think anybody ever questioned that AMD probably did, because branch prediction is crazy complicated shit. So, and just like any other development, you find the bugs, you fix them, and you move on. But I really don't like the whole lumping in of all of the security industry with these assholes, because what they did was weird by any measure. And given all the bad press Intel got after Spectrum Meltdown, I wouldn't doubt that somebody in Intel was, you know, paying off a Dirty Tricks team, right?
Yeah, it definitely seems weird.
So,
look, it's not just us.
Yeah, pretty much. So, this is far from the first such case. A recent Linux vulnerability, Chaos, requires the attacker to have the root password. Newsflash, if the attacker has the root password, your system is completely fucked. Everything else is just details. I might be editing the article. Torvalds believes the security industry has taught everybody not to be critical of their findings. He also thinks there are real security researchers. For many of the rest, it's about giving even the most minor... For the rest, it's all about giving even the most minor security bug. In Torvalds' words, a catchy name and a website is almost required for Splice's security disclosure these days. Well, that's true. I agree with him there. You don't need a fancy name for every bug you find when half of them are just going to be a fucking SMB patch, right? Torvalds thinks security people need to understand they look like clowns because of it. The whole security industry needs to just admit they have a lot of shit going on, and they should use and encourage some critical thinking. There's a lot of problems in IT as a whole, and security is more than just bugs. It's proper systems management, proper change control, and if you're going to say, well, security problems are just bugs, that's part of it, but it's not the picture. And, you know, there's some real problems going on here, and they need to be addressed. But priority? Proper priority? Yeah, that's probably a thing that should happen. All these named vulnerabilities, because I get emails almost every other day. What are you doing about this? What are you doing about that? And then you go to find it's some random-ass thing, right? And, you know, you don't want to email back nothing because it's not a real problem, you dolts. But, you know.
You have to justify everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's business, right? It's like, no, we're going to question everything because we're not going to be responsible. You're responsible for everything. So that's just how it goes. Rand is far from the first time Torvalds has snarled at people at companies for focusing too much on what he sees as the wrong end of security. He wrote on the Linux kernel mailing list in 2008, he refuses to bother with people bother with the whole security circus. It makes heroes out of security people, as if the people who don't want to just fix normal bugs aren't important. In fact, all the normal boring bugs are in a way more important because there's a lot more of them. I don't think some of the spectacular security holes should be glorified and cared about just because it's more special than a random spectacular crash due to bad locking. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about functionality of the OS, right? But at the same time, if you got a real remote code execution, dude, that fucking matters. I don't care that it's just a bug.
Just because it's not just an operating system bug, you aren't making money off of those typically. Just because an application crashed, obviously, unless you're, you know, corrupting memory or buffer overflow or something like that. These, like I said, the SMB bug, people are going to fucking make money and shit off of that. It's a bigger deal.
So, here's the thing. More recently, he doubled down on the position, saying last year about a proposed Linux kernel change, some security people have scoffed at me when I say security problems are primarily just bugs. Now, he didn't used to put the word primarily in there. I think somebody got to him and said, yeah, you've also got misconfigurations and bad management that are part of security. You really need to, you can't just say it's just bugs. Those security, and then he finishes the quote with, those security people are fucking morons. Yeah, there's more to it than that there, buddy. And if you think security is just bugs, you're wrong. And if you think people are fucking morons for pointing out security issues, that's dangerous. And I'd argue that to him to his face. I don't care. Because But I mean, the thing is, he says these things, but then he goes and he actually has the right thing here. The first step should always be just report it, not killing things, not stopping the access, report it. And then do no harm should be the mantra for any new hardening work. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like he says some outrageous thing and then everything else after it makes sense. It's like, dude, come on.
Well, so. I think that's just part of his personality, and I think a lot of the shit that he says gets marketized, hyped up.
Well,
and still,
true.
You know what? It's just one dude's opinion. Who fucking cares?
Well, it's the dude who maintains the Linux kernel, and Linux is like half my job. So.
Well, you know, I don't know. To me, it's just your opinion, man.
So, anyways, before we go
my
on,
my opinion
Dojo,
gets to shape what you're going to be working on, man.
Yeah, that's the problem. So, Madman, are you any thoughts before we go to Dojo?
No, I'm good.
All right, I got two things for us tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a security thing for Linux.
Are you poking the bear morphs?
Yes. With a pointy stick. This is a project called OpenSnitch.io. This project is a port of the Little Snitch application, which came out for Mac, I want to say, a couple of years ago. So it is... OpenSnitch is a GNU Linux port of the Little Snitch application firewall. It's still in alpha, but pretty much the first time you run a program that wants to make a connection, it brings up a pop-up and says, hey, such and such program is trying to make a connection. Do you want to allow this, and how long do you want to let this for? Sort of like the Windows firewall used to do. But it builds an IP tables firewall for you. Well, it helps configure the IP tables firewall, I should say, and monitors what you're doing so that, you know, you run a program, the first time it runs, hey, you know, Firefox is trying to connect on port 443 or, you know, SSH is trying to connect on port 22. Do you want to let this happen? You say yes or no if you weren't expecting it. And eventually you get the thing tuned up for most of what you regularly do so it stops bothering you. Until the one time you run some weird-ass JavaScript or go to a web page just trying to do something and it comes up and it says, hey, this script is trying to connect on port 5000 to an IRC server. Is this something you want to let happen? You say, what? Fuck no. And then you find the malware and you eradicate it, right? So it's an interesting way of managing an IP tables firewall on a Linux box. I think it's worth looking
at. Yeah. Sounds like it's more for a workstation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely for workstations. Not for servers.
Although,
that's cool. You could do it on a server if you didn't know how to configure a firewall. Take you a bit to get it right, though, because you'd have to make sure you exercise everything in the server you care about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the last thing I have is an interesting article from opensource.com, which is running FreeDOS on a Raspberry Pi. So, pretty much, they figured out how to... When I was skimming this earlier, it wasn't clear. FreeDOS requires an Intel x86 processor, but it's possible to run it through PC emulation. So it's not as cool as running it natively, but it works. And they talk about DOSBox, but pretty much it's a write-up of installing QEMU and then getting FreeDOS to run inside of it on a Raspberry so that you can play old-school games. And it works pretty well. From what I understand, I haven't. I only started playing with this, but yeah, they spin up a QEMU, they get DOS going in it, and you start running old school games, right? So, given the amount of free games that are on archive.org for DOS, this is probably worth exploring. And
yeah, that's cool.
Running it on a Raspberry, hey, little $30 machine, you can build a little gaming rig or
nice.
Something. I thought it was
cool.
Yeah.
Do you have your RetroPie and then you have this thing?
Actually, since it's QEMU, you could probably build it on top of a RetroPie and then have both.
Both. Best of both worlds.
Although
that's
I think
cool.
RetroPie includes DOSBox, doesn't it?
I don't know. I haven't set one up.
But anyways, that's all I've really got. Madman, closing thoughts.
I just realized, when I put this computer together, I'm going to be booting up a version of Windows 7 that hasn't been on in 4 years? 5 years?
Why wouldn't you start with a fresh install?
Because it's already on the hard drive that I'm going to be sticking into this belt.
So there's a good chance
when I turn it on, it's just going to be on.
There's a good chance that machine ain't going to boot right. You're not going to have the right drivers. It's going to just blue screen on you. You can try it. I mean, why not, right? But you're probably going to need to do a fresh install, just FYI.
I'd just go with a fresh, man. It's just easier. Just easier, dude.
Are you? Closing thoughts, future news, whatever you want to call it.
Just an open letter to Matt Damon. Fuck off, we're full.
Was he not brown enough for you?
What's that, Madman?
He not brown enough for you? Racist.
I saw somewhere he said he's going to move to Australia to get away from Donald Trump. Fuck off, we're full. Go to Canada.
Matt Damon, you're not allowed here. All right, Sard. Closing thoughts, future news, whatever you want to call it.
Today I just finished actually like my second book I ever read of Cory Doctorow. I read his Little Brother book.
Yes, that's
awesome.
That
story is fucking amazing.
So I want some clarification. Is it the second Cory Doctorow book or the second book ever?
Second book of Cory Doctorow's that I've read.
Okay, because it sounded like it was the second book you've ever read.
Ever.
Okay.
That's what I thought, too. I'm like, fuck.
I didn't mean that.
I didn't realize the medium was that far gone. I mean, shit.
No. If you're a privacy advocate or into tech and want to hear about a crazy,
isn't that the one where they were hacked game consoles to spy on people?
Yes, that's part of it.
Okay, I don't remember the thing. I need to reread it probably.
It's an excellent fucking story. And I just learned today that there's a sequel called Homeland, so I'll be reading that next.
He does audiobooks as well that he reads himself, and they're all free on they're all free on Archive, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, that's where I listen to all my Cory Doctorow stuff. And my favorite one is, I forget the name of it, it's When Admins Rule the World.
When Sysadmins Rule the World.
Yeah,
that was the first one that I read.
Yeah, the one where the world has 3D printers of everything, and one group of people says everything should be free, and the others say no, we must have a means of production, and they're at war, and they released all sorts of chemicals and stuff, so there are zombies, and it's fantastic.
That's cool.
It's I forget what it's called. Check out Archive. I think it's archive.org.
I've got it. It's nice. archive.org with the search. But the subject of Doctorow will get you, looks like, a good chunk of it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Most of these, the Little Brother and the sequel, and there's a bunch of other books are free on his website in PDF form. You just go down there and download them. Dude, I really enjoyed it. And I came into the IRC a couple of times. Shout out to Iron Angel. And I was like, oh my God, guys, have you read this? This is amazing. And all Iron Angel said was, keep reading, it gets worse. And goddamn it, he was right. All right,
I'm adding the archive.org search for Doctorow to Digital Dojo links.
Yeah.
Just a warning with the books that he does actually read. If you are trying, I listened to all when I was improving my body and everything like that. And it gets really fucking depressing when you know you got 5Ks left to go in your walk. And he's like, hey, guys, I've just landed in Sydney, or I've just landed in Denmark, every fucking morning just before you start your exercise. He's like, hey, guys, I'm in the south of France today. I'm going to be reading a little bit of this. He's like, fuck you, you asshole. Because every fucking book, he's like in a different part of the world having fun. But yeah, depressing.
Oh, side note I should call out before we close out the show. The hosting provider we're using for Galaxy 15 Radio is having some issue with them. So if you see some bullshit come up where, like, the site goes down, I know about it. I'm working on it. I don't know quite what the fuck their problem is. I probably have it fixed today. But you know how this stuff goes. So Anyways, so if the site goes down for like a day or something, I am aware. I know about it. I'm working with them, kind of. I'm more yelling at them on the phone. But anyways, that's all I've got for today. I don't guess I do future news anymore, do I? Am I supposed to do future news? I don't remember.
I don't know how the format's meant to run.
I don't remember.
It's your show. You do whatever you do, man.
The whole show
Forbes,
is
future news.
The whole show is me doing future news. What are you talking about? It's like, I think shit's gonna hit the fan.
Well, we gotta sit down and plan a 300 episode.
We do need
week.
To do that, actually.
Yeah,
I'm like taking off work to do this shit, right? Anyways, that's all I got. I'm gonna play the Pac-Man sound and close this out here.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.